Good day, friends, and welcome to the Spirit of Bible Study. My name is Garland Robinson. You know, the Bible says that when one obeys the gospel, the work is not over. The job is not finished. It's not that you simply become a Christian and then you say, okay, I'm a Christian now, then that's all I need to do, and you go on your merry way. That is by no means the end of our obedience. That's only the beginning of it. Romans 6 and verse 4 says that when one is baptized, when they come up out of the water, they are a new creature. They walk a new life. Romans 6 and verse 6 says that does not happen before baptism. Now, I know denominational churches believe that you're a new creature before you're baptized, and so you baptize a live person. But you know, friends, and I don't know if anybody wants to be buried alive. I want to make sure I'm dead before they bury me, and I'm sure that's the case with you. Don't want to be buried alive. And the spiritual use and sense of that same thing in Romans and throughout the entire New Testament speaks about baptism is for a dead person, one who's died to sin, one who does not desire to live any longer therein. So the old is buried. Romans 6 and verse 6 speaks about burying the old man of sin. So we're an old sinner when we go down into the water, but when we come up, we're a new creature in Christ, and therefore we're to walk a newness of life. We don't live the same way, do the same things that we did prior to being baptized, but rather we are a new creature in Christ, and we're to live the rest of our life, whatever period of time that may be upon this earth, in the newness of life and doing those things that would be pleasing in God's sight. Well, how do we do that? Well, there's a number of things, obviously, that we need to do. We need to grow, need to study and learn and perform and in this world. One of them is that we need to live every day a life of righteousness, a life of godliness. That is essential for daily Christian living. We can't continue to live the old way, doing the old things and every kind of vice and vile thing, but rather to do what God's will is for us. Why is that? Because that's what God's commanded in His Word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse 9 and 10 and 11, the Bible speaks about some that before they became Christians in the church there at Corinth, before they became Christians, they were guilty of this and that, and fornication and lying and stealing and homosexuality. They were guilty of adultery and murder, on and on and on. But he says, that's what you used to be. Notice 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11. And such were some of you. Some of the people that were members there in the church at Corinth, they were that kind of people, but not anymore. That is past tense. Such were some of you. But notice what that had occurred since they were baptized. In that, ye were washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So there's a vast difference in there. A great difference between those who once lived according to the lusts of the flesh and of this world, but now they've been transformed to walk a newness of life. In Romans chapter 6, in verse 1, the Bible asks, what shall we say then? When one is converted, shall he continue in sin that grace may abound? God's answer is, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? There's a great transition between the old life and the new life. So we don't live that way anymore. Over in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, we read, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable, our spiritual service. Again, the great transition from the old to the new. How do we live? What do we do? Well, we present our lives, the very life we live, as a living sacrifice. You remember in the Old Testament, the animals that were offered by the commandment of God under the Israelite system was they would take an animal and kill that animal, offer its blood, and in some cases its flesh and everything about it, in an offering or a sacrifice unto God. But in the New Testament, we don't kill animals. We do not offer dead sacrifices. The very life we live is a sacrifice, one that we do every day in continual service unto God. Our bodies are to be lived as a living sacrifice. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, we read, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world." Again, what's the great contrast, the great difference here? It shows before one becomes a Christian, we live ungodly, unrighteous, and so on. But afterwards, something has changed. Our whole attitude, our outlook, our conduct, everything about us has been cleaned up now and changed. And so we live a sober life, a righteous life, a godly life. That is what we do every day. And we work on it. That has to involve labor and determination. We have to make firm in our minds that we're going to do those things pleasing in God's sight. In 1 Peter chapter 3, we read in verse 10, 11, and 12, "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it." Why? Verse 12 tells us, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." Again, a great contrast between the evil and the good. God blesses those who do good, who do right, who follow Him, that are compassionate, that are kind, that are humble. But those who are not so, then God's face is against those. So if we desire, as Peter mentioned here, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, if we desire to live and love life, if we desire to prosper and see good days, how do we accomplish that? How do we get to that end? He says, well, number one, you refrain your tongue from evil. We do not speak lies. We do not speak little white lies. We do not bend and twist the truth. We do not mislead. We do not speak evil in cursing and using foul language, taking God's name in vain. That there should be no wicked or vile or corrupt thing that crosses over our lips. It's interesting that it said about the Lord that in Him was no guile found. And it must not be so with us when we desire to please God. Then the Bible says we need to eschew evil. That means to refrain from it, avoid it, run from it, whatever form evil takes. Whenever corruption is involved, get out of it, depart from it, run away, turn our backs on it, and in place of it, do good, do right. And in that process, we seek for peace, we follow it, we ensue or pursue it. We're doing all of those things as God would have us to, because God is watching. God is always watching, knowing, and seeing everything we do. You know how a lot of that has to do with our attitude. We've got to have a correct attitude in everything. That is, toward individuals, toward things, toward the world, toward men, toward God. In every respect, we need to have a good and right and proper attitude. In 1 John chapter 4, and verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, the Bible says he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. You know, that has to do with attitude, our outlook, our disposition, to not only toward God, but toward mankind. Is there someone you hate? Someone you literally hate? The Bible says hate leads to murder. And the only difference between hating someone and murdering someone, most of the time, is the opportunity of putting to practice or committing the murder that we have harbored in our heart. That's really the only difference. And God counts it the same. That is, we are a murderer when we hate someone else. So, the individual that says, "Oh, I love God. Oh, I love God so much. Oh, He's my King. He's my Savior. He's my big rock." And yet the Bible says, if we do not love our brother, our sister, brethren in the Lord, those who have been washed and purified and sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, if we say we love God and yet we hate our brother, the Bible says we're a liar. And you know what else it says about liars? Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 says, liars do not go to heaven. If we're going to say we love God, then we better love the brethren, because that's the whole point that God commands us to do. That extends, friends, even to our enemies. Even our enemies. Those who are seeking to hurt us and harm us, even to our enemies. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same?" Notice this great teaching of our Lord. If we love God, we'll love our brethren, but even our enemies. If we love our neighbor, those who are kind, those who are good, those who are trustworthy, those who are sincere around us and with whom we get along great with, if we love them, and then turn around and hate an enemy, that won't work, because the Lord says, this is a command, love your enemies. That doesn't mean we're best friends with them. It doesn't mean we like to associate with them in every respect, but it means we wish them no harm. It means that we would do good to them, even in spite of the fact that they may do bad to us. Those who curse us, those who hate us, we are to do good to them. We are to pray for them, even though they may persecute us. That's the great command of God. That's why there's a grave difference between the Christian life and all other religions of the world, because they do not teach that grand and great glorious doctrine. If you love them, the Lord said, that love you, what reward have ye? Even the publicans, the sinners, do that. We must live above that. This has been Garland Robinson. Join us again.